أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين We continue with the verse 113 of Surah Baqarah that we discussed part of it last week. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقالت اليهود ليست النصارى على شيء وقالت النصارى ليست اليهود على شيء وهم يتلون الكتاب كذلك قال الذين لا يعلمون مثل قولهم فالله يحكم بينهم يوم القيامة فيما كانوا فيه يختلفون The Jews say the Christians stand on nothing And the Christians say the Jews stand on nothing, though they follow the same book. Similarly, those who do not know, have said the same thing. God will judge between them on the day of resurrection in what they disputed. Now, regarding the Jews and Christians, we mentioned that when the Christians of Najran came to Medina to negotiate with the prophets, about the terms of the peace that they wanted to have, and then it led to Mubahala and it didn't happen. They had also discussion with the Jews in Medina as well. Now, we have a hadith from Imam Hassan al-Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam, who says that this verse was revealed about a group of Jews and Christians who came to the Prophet, peace be on him. It may refer to the same story, but from a different angle. And they said, Ya Muhammad, اقضي بيننا. You judge between us to the Prophet, peace be upon him. And he said that, okay, you tell me what is the issue here. The Jews said that we believe in Allah, the Al-Wahid Al-Hakim, and we are his friends, and Nasara, stand on nothing, the Christians. وليست النصارى على شيء من الدين والحق. The Jews, the Christians stand on nothing in terms of faith and haq. And the Christians said, no, it's not right. We are the believers in Allah al-Wahid al-Hakim. We are his friend. And the Jews stand on nothing on faith and haq. The Prophet, peace be upon him, told them, كلكم مخطئون مبطلون فاسقون عن دين الله. All of you, both of you, are in error, and they are saying false things, and they have gone out of the faith, فاسقون عن دين الله, and his command, out of the faith, the religion of God, and his command. And the Jews said, how you say that we are out of the religion of God and his command, and we read the Bible. We have the Bible amongst us and we read the Bible. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said that you have disagreed amongst each other, O Jews and Christians, about the book of God. And you are not acting upon your book. And if you do not act upon your book, then of course you are not believers in your book. And the book will become a liability upon you, not an advantage for you. This is what I mentioned last week, that people who receive a book, whether Muslims, Jews, Christians, those who receive a book, and they do not follow it, and they say we believe in it, this is a liability rather than an advantage for them. It becomes a sort of evidence against them on the day of judgment. We have in hadith that some of the Muslimun who were oppressors, who were wrongdoers, will be taken to hell before the disbelievers. And then they say, Ya Allah, why did you take us to hell before disbelievers? Well, we believed in your book. And he says, because you knew and they didn't know. And because you knew, you should be punished more than those who didn't know, if, of course, those who didn't know are responsible for their ignorance. Then the hadith continues. It's not something which is related to this verse. So the verse actually is telling us that if Jews and Christians, both of them, read the same book, and that's the Bible. Of course, Christians believe in an additional part of the Bible, which is the Gospel. But at least they read the same book in the majority of instances. And then they regard each other to be standing on nothing. This is an error. Now, the continuation of the verse says that كَذَلِكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ مِثْلَ قَوْلِهِمْ. Those who don't know say the same thing. That they say that neither Muslimun nor Jews nor Christians stand on nothing. Now, الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, those who don't know, usually in the words of Exodus refers to to disbelievers, to mushrikun. These are those who don't know. The knowledge that the Quran talks about is the knowledge of the book. And always the Quran says, for example, the people whom we gave the book disagreed about it after the knowledge came to them. And knowledge means the book, means knowledge of God, knowledge of origin of creation, knowledge of the end of creation. This is the knowledge. If we didn't have the book, we didn't have the knowledge especially about the destiny of the world, destiny of human being, men are going to be resurrected. If we didn't have knowledge, the book, we may have had ideas about God, that there is a creator, but we didn't have knowledge about what would happen to human beings later on. It was impossible for us to know that. It is only through the book that we know for sure that something is going to, another life is going to come, and we are going to be judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is knowledge, and this knowledge cannot be reached by human beings. All other types of knowledge may be accessible to man by experience, by study, or those things, but the knowledge of judgment day, the knowledge of life after death, is something which comes to you only through the books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, it is the knowledge which comes, and man cannot have it, without the book. And usually, as I said, the Quran says people argued amongst themselves after knowledge came to them. And this knowledge is this knowledge of the book. Therefore, those who don't know usually mean those who have no knowledge of the book, those who have not received this knowledge. However, here there may be another meaning to it, and that is those who don't know among the Muslims may say the same thing, that Jews are on nothing or Christians are stand on nothing. And therefore, anyone who speaks in this vein, in this way, is an ignorant person who rejects the faith of everyone else except their own faith. The following verse seems to be a bit unrelated to what is mentioned here. Verse number 114, وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ. Before mentioning the next verse, the ending sentence of this verse 113 is فَاللَّهُ يَحْكُمُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِي مَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ. Allah will judge between them. Now, why Allah should judge between different people in their differences? For example, Allah will judge between Shia and Sunni. Allah will judge between Christians and Jews. Allah will judge between Muslims and disbelievers and mushrikeen. Allah, we know that everyone should receive in that judgment day, everyone should receive the reward or punishment of what they have done. That is true. But why Allah should judge about the differences that people have in this world? What would be the outcome of it? Because in that world, we are not going to argue anymore. The arguments would end. Why Allah should judge? Apparently, this judgment means that it's not, for example, Allah saying that, okay, you Christians are wrong, you Jews are right. No. Because the haq would appear, the truth is revealed. That is the judgment between people. Everyone knows what share of truth they will have. Everyone knows what part of their belief was right and what part of their belief was wrong. And in this way, Allah judges between people in what they used to dispute. Okay, verse 114. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. Who is a greater wrongdoer than him who denies access to the mosques of Allah, lest his name be celebrated, أَنْ يُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ وَسَعَى فِي خَرَابِهَا. And not only that, he tries to ruin them. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. Such ones may not enter them except in fear. لَهُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا خِزْيٌ وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. There is disgrace for them in this world, and there is for them a great punishment in the hereafter. Now, you see, the previous verse is talking about Jews and Christians arguing about which one of them is right, which one is wrong. Here, suddenly, it comes about those who stop people from access to the mosques and try to ruin the mosques. To understand the relation and connection between these two verses, there are a couple of ideas which are set forth by exegetes. One opinion is that masajid here doesn't mean actually mosques only. It means anywhere in which God is being worshipped, anywhere where people humble themselves for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is masjid. Now, by saying that Jews stand on nothing and Christians stand on nothing, and then trying to destroy the temples, and this has happened in history a lot. I mean, a religion has become has conquered another land with another religion, and then the religion of God, not of course temples of idols, then they have tried to destroy the churches, the synagogues, the mosques, such things. Allah says this is of course wrong. If people are worshiping God in their own ways, you have to let them to worship God in their own ways. Christians, Jews, Muslims. And that's why of course we have the ruling that the churches, the mosques, the churches and the synagogues should not be destroyed when Muslims go to a land. This is one way of saying that, that you are actually destroying this idea of worship of God by saying that you are on nothing, you are unfaithful, you go to hell, especially because people of every religion attribute the others that they are inhabitants of hell, and if they do not believe in their own religion. So by this way, you are stopping them to go to their temples in a way, and you try to ruin them if you have the power. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. I'll talk about this later on. The other meaning of this is that you Jews, you Christians believe in God, and you are worshipping God. And you know that Muslims as well are worshiping God. You are of the almost the same faith. Your theologies differ, but you are almost of the same faith. The ones who do not believe at all in worshiping God, they may believe in God, of course, like Mushrikun of Mecca who believed in God, but believed in Allah, but worshiped idols, did not worship Allah. They destroyed mosques, especially when the Muslims were in Mecca. Whatever mosque they built or wherever they went to worship, they destroyed it. It says that if you want to direct your criticism towards anyone, then direct them towards those who destroy mosques, those who destroy the places of worship. And this is how the exegetes have connected this verse to the previous verse. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ مَنَعَ مَسَاجِدَ اللَّهِ أَنْ يَذْكُرَ فِي حَسْمُهُ. All of you are mentioning the name of God in your own ways, but there are some people who don't want the name of God to be mentioned at all, name of Allah. Allah is different from idols. Name of Allah to be worshipped at all, and they try to ruin and destroy them. So these are the ones that you have to direct your criticism towards rather than towards each other. And nowadays, you remember what Fakhruddin Razi had said in last week, I quoted him, that exactly what has happened to Jews and Christians happened in the world of Islam. We are accusing each other of disbelief, of kufr. And now, let alone somehow directing this criticism against Christians and Jews, we direct it against Muslims themselves. Amongst ourselves, we are directing this accusation of kufr to each other. There are other opinions about this verse. Some say that, like Ibn Abbas and Mujahid, his student, that this is referring to the Romans when they entered Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple until the time of when Muslims went and conquered that place and built the mosque again. How it's related, again, it says that you are accusing each other, but the disbelievers, idolaters, come and destroy the places of your worship. They don't care whether it's for Christians or for Jews. You remember Imam Khomeini usually was saying when this dispute among the Shia and Sunni was there, and sometimes disbelievers were supporting one party, and he used to say that if they have power, they destroy both of you. They don't care whether you are Shia or you are Sunni. The same thing here, actually. They don't care whether you are Christian or Jew or Muslim. They want to destroy the places of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are other opinions which are not very much related, actually. Many others have said this refers to the mushrikun of Arab who used to destroy the mosques in Mecca when they were established before migration. A small mosque, of course, not big mosque, small mosque in the houses. They destroyed them. However, Tabari says that if we take them as mushrikun of Arab, it's not related at all. It's talking about Jews and Christians. Why we bring mushrikun of Arab here? Sheikh Tusi says that, well, in the previous verse we had كَذَلَكَ قَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ مِثْلَ قُولَهِمْ. The mushrikun who don't know say the same thing, and they destroy the mosque. Do you want to be like them? Do you want to destroy the mosques as well? أُولَٰئِكَ. So, who is more a wrongdoer than the one who denies access to the mosque of Allah? Because they don't want the name of Allah to be celebrated and tries to ruin them. أُولَٰئِكَ مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَن يَدْخُلُوهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. Such ones may not enter them except in fear. This is very difficult, how we connect this one to the previous sentence. Those who destroy these mosques cannot enter them except by fear. Now, one interesting explanation is given by Ayyashi in his tafsir. He says that these people will not believe in Allah except under the threat of sword. It means that if you don't have power, they will continue to destroy. And if you have power, they feign belief. They say that we are believers, but it is under the fear of your power that they say we believe. And they will enter mosques, they come to your mosque, they pray with you, but it is under fear. And it talks about the munafiqun who believed, and munafiqun of every faith, actually. Those who do not want the faith to flourish, they will come and after you have the power, they say, yes, we are believers, but that is under fear. It, in a way, it says that there are certain people who never believe. And if they believe, if they say they believe, it is by the fear of the power that you have, because otherwise there will be a fight would break out or something like that. مَا كَانَ لَهُمْ أَنْ يَدْخُلُهَا إِلَّا خَائِفِينَ. And Feyz-i Kashani rahmatullah alayhi says that this is actually a sort of foretelling of the Quran, that you will be victorious over the mushrikun of Arab who try to destroy your mosques, and they will come into your faith and they will come into your mosques, but they come with fear. Now, there is another outcome of this verse which some people have actually deduced from the verse, and that is mushrikun should never enter the mosque, and if they enter, they would enter undercover, fearful. And that's why some of them have said that this is a verse which actually tells us that mushrikun, disbelievers, should not enter any mosque or masjid al-haram. ما كان لهم أن يدخلوها مساجد الله. Now, some have taken this masajid al-Allah to be masjid al-haram, which has no reason whatsoever. And the others have said that the mushrikun should not enter, these disbelievers should not enter mosques. Again, whether we have such a ruling that mushrikun or disbelievers should not enter mosque or not, this verse never tells anything about it, because it said those who try to destroy mosques, those who try to destroy faith, they would enter these places with fear. It never says that any disbeliever, and we know that not every disbeliever tries to destroy faith or tries to ruin masajid. So from this verse, we never can deduce that mushrikun or disbelievers cannot enter mosque. If that is an accepted ruling, then the argument for it should come in other places. In Majma'ul Bayan, Tabrasi mentions that when this verse was revealed, the Prophet announced, "Ala la yahijjanna ba'da al-am mushrikun," and that is why they say this verse relates to the prohibition of mushrikun coming to Masjid al-Haram. "Ala la yahijjanna ba'da al-am mushrikun, wa la yatufanna bihadha al-bayt uryanun," and no mushrik should come for Hajj after this year to Masjid al-Haram, and no naked person should do tawaf around this house. Even if this is true, it refers to prohibition of certain acts of mushrikun who were doing around Masjid al-Haram, and that is, they said that we do not do tawaf with the dresses that we have sinned in them. So they came and circumambulate naked. And this was, of course, a very obscene and unpleasant thing. And Prophet prohibited that no one should come and do tawaf like that. So it is, again, not very much related to the idea of mushrikun or disbelievers not entering any mosque. Anyhow, whatever it is, أولئك ما كان لهم أن يدخلوها إلا خائفين لهم في الدنيا خزي. In this world, they have disgrace of not being let into the mosques. وَلَهُمْ فِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ, and in Akhirah they have a great punishment. The unfortunate thing is that when we have such verses, immediately the mind goes to every disbeliever, while these are talking about certain acts which result in certain rulings about people, not something which could be generalized to every disbeliever. وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبِ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. To Allah belongs the East and the West. So whichever way you turn, there is the face of Allah. Allah is indeed all-embracing, all-knowing. This is an introduction to discussion about change of Qibla. However, how it is it connected to the previous verse? Again, the way you turn to worship Allah is not important. What is important is your worship. Do not accuse each other of not believing in God, of not worshiping God. Allah is everywhere, and every people may worship Him in different ways. However, having said that, it refers to a specific incident, and that was why the Qibla was changed. Actually, the Exodus have disagreed whether this is related to that incident of change of Qibla, because that comes a bit later. Here, a general thing is said that worshipping Allah has no bounds, has no boundaries. Everywhere on the earth, people may worship Allah. It's different from worshipping idols. Sometimes we think that worshipping in itself is a value. No, worshipping in itself is not a value. And we say, every people worship in one way. No, every people who worship Allah in one way, not anything in one way. So that worshipping idols is not acceptable. It's out of actually all these discussions. It's worshipping Allah Himself rather than the idols. Now, some people have said that this refers, there are three sort of rulings that can be deduced from this verse. Some say that this is about the change of Qibla. Okay, it doesn't matter. You have prayed in this direction for a while. Now you change the direction. You turned towards the south rather than towards the north. لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرُقُ وَالْمَغْرَبِ. The others say that it is actually referring to salat, but not the wajib salat, not obligatory salat. Salatun nafila, the recommended salat, if you are traveling or if you are not able to, for example, stand towards the direction of Qibla, you can do it in any manner you wish. And some say this refers to when you actually miss the Qibla, you have miscalculated the Qibla, the direction, and you deviate from it to, of course, to 90 degrees, not more than that. If you turn beyond 90 degrees, then it's not acceptable. However, these are the rulings that have come in Hadith. None of these could be inferred from this verse. Yes, we have, for example, look at this hadith from Zurara, rahmatullah alayh, from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He said that as-salatu fi-safar wa-safina wal-mahmil sawa qala an-nafila kullaha sawa'un tu'mi'u ima'an. If you are traveling or in a boat or on the mahmil of the of your mount, then in nafila you can just say your nafila without changing direction, without directing yourself towards Qibla. Just for example, you are sitting in your car driving, you start to say your nawafil. It's fine. There's no problem. You don't need to change to your face towards Qibla. Turn your face towards Qibla, and for sajda, for ruku, you just point your head down a little bit as a sign of ruku, as a sign of sajda. And Imam says that wherever you you face with your mount or in ship or whatever, you do your nafila, but for fariza you have to come down, stand towards the Qibla and pray. And we have another hadith that the Prophet, peace be upon him, used to pray his nafila while traveling on his camel, while he was facing towards Medina, actually opposing the direction of Qibla. Anyhow, they say that لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرُقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ refers to Salatul Nafila, which while you are walking, while you are moving, in movement, you don't need to turn towards Qibla. Well, it doesn't come out of this. It just comes from the hadith. And that's right. I mean, in Nafila, when you are moving, even voluntarily, I mean, not that because you have to, you can actually stop and pray your Nafila towards Qibla, but you don't need to. You are going to the mosque, Azan al-Zuhr is said, and it's the time of Nafila. Just driving, you say your Nafila before you arrive in the mosque, and then you do say your Wajib Salat. But the ruling doesn't come from the verse. It comes from the hadith. In fact, the verse which says, لِلَّهِ الْمَشْرُقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ, Sheikh Tusi mentions one very interesting thing. He says that, why Mashriq and Maghrib? Why not Mashariq and Maghrib? Every Mashriq, every Maghrib, because we know that the sun actually rises from different places, so we have Mashariq on the earth and sets in different places, so we have Maghrib. And in Quran, we have Mashariq and Maghrib as well, or Mashriqain and Maghribain. Sheikh Tusi says, because this is referring to the jinns, to the type, or to the Mashriq and Maghrib as a concept rather than as specific places. So anywhere which is Mashriq, anywhere which is Maghrib, that belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it means لله المشارق والمغارب. Now about وجهullah, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, wherever you turn is the face of Allah. I mentioned one hadith, and then I leave the discussion, the more detailed discussion about Wajhullah for next week, inshallah. In Tawheed of Saduq, from Salman al-Farsi, in an anecdote where Jasaliq, that's the head of the church, comes to Imam Ali alayhi salam and asks him about certain questions, and one of the questions is qala akhbirni an wajh ar-rabb. The Quran talks about the face of Allah so much. So what is this face of Allah, wajh ar-rabb? He says that Imam Ali alayhi salam, before answering him, asked for some wood, firewood, and he set up the fire. And there was a big fire. Imam said, where is the face of this fire? And the Jathaliq, the bishop or archbishop said that everywhere is his face. There is no specific face there. Imam said, this is something that is created by me. And you cannot distinguish where the face is. And وَخَالِقُهَا لَا يُشْبِهُهَا, it's not, of course, similar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when we talk about وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, we talk about something which has no direction. So you cannot say that this is face of Allah, that is face of Allah. So وَلِلَّهِ الْمَشْرِقُ وَالْمَغْرِبُ فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ means وَجْهُ اللَّهِ is everywhere. Everywhere is وَجْه is something that you see from someone. And by that, you recognize him. When we see each other's face, we recognize each other. When you turn anywhere, you recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, wajhullah is everywhere. Fathamma, wajhullah, inna allaha wasun alim. There are other discussions about wajhullah that, inshallah, I will mention next week. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alayhi tahirin.
Allahumma shukran. Thank you much, Nishek. Sisters, we have now about 15, 20 minutes to continue further the discussion. Any brothers or sister?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Alaikum.
Sheikh, what's our view then of allowing mushrik or non-believers into Medina and Mecca and that area?
To Masjid al-Haram, the view is that they are not allowed to go. But there's dispute about other mosques, whether they can enter other mosques or not. And the main evidence or the main source for that ruling is in Surah Tawbah, إِنَّمَا الْمُشْرِكُونَ نَجَسٌ فَلَا يَقْرَبُ الْمَسْجِدَ الْحَرَامِ بَعْدَ عَامِهِمْ هَذَا. The mushrikun are najas. And najas is spiritual, of course, uncleanliness. So they should not come close to Masjid al-Haram from this year. However, there are certain arguments against this, and because it talks about Mushrik al-Arab, those who came to Masjid al-Haram, they used to become naked and do the tawaf. Could we generalize it to every disbeliever, even if they are not Mushrik, like, for example, the Jews? The Jews are not Mushriks, isn't it? So can they, or Christians, although they believe in Trinity, we do not regard them as Mushrik. So can we generalize this to them? It's difficult. There are certain hadiths about it, but not everyone agrees about the ruling.
What about Medina then? Masjid al-Nabawi and that area?
Well, if we say Masjid al-Haram, if we argue, the same thing would be about Masjid al-Nabi as well.
Okay, so Haram is just the actual vicinity or the whole where the current border is?
In Medina, you mean?
In Mecca as well.
In Mecca. No, it doesn't say about Haram. It says Masjid al-Haram. Masjid al-Haram is the mosque. Not, of course, Mecca itself or Haram.
Thank you. Sisters? No. Brother?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you. Just going further on his point here is the Mushrikun. So if there is a Hindu that comes and says, I want to know more about Islam, and he says, yes, I do realize that Hindus are essentially, traditionally Mushrik, but I do believe in one God. Is that good enough to start them to come into Masjid al-Haram, for example?
As I said, this is not something that we can discuss. We have to follow the Maraji or the Fuqaha of Ahlul Sunnah, whatever they say. But we are talking about this tafsir of the verse. In those specific cases, you have to see what are the rulings of different Fuqaha, whether Shia or Sunni.
So coming back to the verse 113, Baqarah, you just done. Why did Prophet did not clarify the previous books? Because repeatedly mentions you have not followed your book.
Yeah.
So why couldn't the Prophet just say, here is the essentials of your book that your Prophet brought? Because I'm from the same place up there. So I have the book as well. So why didn't he clarify to them?
Yeah, he has many places in the Quran he says that. Yeah. That these are the tenets of your book. I am just confirming them and you're not following them. It's mentioned many places in the Quran.
It sounds like they have completely lost their way and the Prophet's telling them you are wrong. So obviously he must have told them which is the right thing.
No, I mean, like the verse that we said before, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ لَسْتُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ حَتَّى تُقِيمُوا التَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. I do not regard you as people of the book unless you hold to your book, unless you stand on the tenets of your book.
And on the next ayah, just a quick one. Only one sect goes to Jannat. You know, there are, we repeatedly hear the hadith about there's going to be 150 or 30.
73. Don't double it, please. It's problematic as it stands.
Sects are coming and going all the time as well. Yeah. So how
that hadith is problematic. That hadith doesn't sound very rational. We have to, it's in Sahih Bukhari. We cannot actually argue against it. But it is certainly not something that we understand from the Quran. Because the same thing that لَنْ يَدْخُلَ الْجَنَّةِ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارًا, except whoever is Jew or Christian, then we say except who is on this sect, everyone else would go to hell.
Thank you. We come back to the ladies first, and before we go to Sarfraz, any sisters? No, Sarfraz?
Sheikh, you mentioned just right now that the Prophet said to the Christians and the Jews, I don't accept you as people of the book unless you hold to the tenets of your faith. But we know they didn't hold to the tenets of their faith, and still today they don't.
Yeah.
So then why is the Prophet and us regarding them?
Yeah, legally we accept them as people of the book, but you remember we talked about kufr? We said that many people are in reality kafir, but we have no other duty but to regard them as Muslims, okay, in our social dealings. Yes, when they say that we are Christians, we are the ones who have received the guidance, then The answer is, well, if you are really Christians, you have to hold up to the teachings of Jesus Christ, peace be upon him. So the same thing about Jews, the same thing about Muslims as well. Even if Allah would not regard us as Muslims, so long as we do not stick to the book. But in social matters, we cannot just go and do takfir of everyone, of course.
Thank you. Any sisters? No? Brother? Brother? Sheikh, talking about the turning towards Kaaba's Qibla, if I remember correctly from my past reading of the translation, I think there's an ayah which says that Allah says that I see you, when he refers to the Prophet, I see you turning your face toward Kaaba. Is that the right
translation? Towards sky. قَدْ نَرَى تَقَلُّبَ وَجْهَكَ فِي السَّمَاءِ. We saw that you are turning your face, waiting for this ruling to come down. So now we give you that qibla. We'll come to that verse, inshallah, soon.
Okay,
it's just right. Ahead of us.
Oh, I see. Okay, thanks, Mary. Yeah. Any sisters? Yep.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. This, the knowledge when it came to them, and that's where they deferred, is I find that very difficult to understand, because I thought that knowledge is something that is light, that guides you to the truth. Doesn't matter what religion or what faith, but it guides you to the knowledge itself. To find that the knowledge actually defers you is, I don't understand.
Yeah, didn't the Quran came to us and we differed later on?
But
about
still,
who is the judge, who is the interpreter, how should we interpret it? You see, we argue, we discuss about it.
But the core belief.
Yeah, the core belief, of course.
Yeah, the core belief. Because the knowledge of God is there. At the end, that is what really matters.
Well, how we worship him matters as well. You know, there is a sort of spectrum of places where people are going. And we are here to determine which place on that spectrum will fill. Now, these disagreements are important for that. The main idea, of course, is that there is one God, we want to worship him, and knowledge tells us that there is a life after this. But then how to worship him, what to do, what are the things which are important? Now, you see, we have differed in a sense that some Muslims say that you should be killed, isn't it? And you say, it doesn't matter. Well, it matters, actually. They said that we have to kill you. And so these disagreements have come after the knowledge. In fact, because of that knowledge, these disagreements have appeared. Because some believe that there is a hereafter and 72 sect go to hell and one sect go to paradise, so we all have to eliminate all these 72 sects. These disagreements have all come after that knowledge has come to us.
Do you want to add something? Okay. Any brothers? Any other sister? Any brother? No, it seems.
Don't insist.
No. Trying to encourage, not insisting. Trying to motivate them. Inshallah. Yeah, there
thank
is.
Thank you.
See, mashallah. Sister.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much. I thought knowledge, anybody can have any knowledge. You know, you can have a knowledge on science, you can have a knowledge, but how to apply it, you have to have a wisdom for that. So isn't there a difference between the knowledge? Anybody can have a wisdom.
That's true. And those disagreements come because there is no wisdom.
Yeah.
The way how to use that knowledge. Yeah. That's true. Yeah. Thank you.
Any other brothers? No? Seems we continue next week, inshallah.
Thank you,
Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.